Well, imagine being rounded up by police in your own neighborhood and being shipped off to an internment camp. Your only crime? Your ethnic background. And that was the reality for many Italian Canadians living in Windsor and other Canadian cities during World War II. Italian Canadian men were sent off for months, even years sometimes, without family or any charges, and they were sent to Camp 33 in Petawawa. It was an internment camp during the war. The luckier Italian Canadians had to report to local police stations on a monthly basis. Well, now there's a national project underway to collect the stories of Italian Canadians as enemy aliens during World War II. Travis Tomchuk is a researcher and writer for the project. He's with the Columbus Center in Toronto. He joins me on the line. Hello, Travis.
Hi there.
Well, take us back to that period, Travis, and tell us what led to these Italian Canadians being sent to internment camps.
Prior to the involvement of Italy in the Second World War, the Canadian government, via the RCMP, had been keeping tabs on people they had considered, within the Italian community, people they had considered to be a threat in the event of war with Italy. And through various ways, and again, this is a bit hard to determine whether the RCMP had people on the ground or if they were using paid informants to get information on people in the Italian-Canadian community. Regardless on how they collected this information, they made a list of people to be interned. And and this was within, months prior to June 10th, 1940, when Italy did declare war against England and France. This information was compiled, and then once war broke out, the RCMP began to round up people on this list.
How many Italian Canadians were interned at these camps?
The numbers, it's not actually clear exactly what the numbers were, but it's somewhere between 500 and 700.
Do you know any? How many were from particular cities? And I'm asking, of course, about Windsor.
Windsor, based on the information that we have, like there was a series of lists that the government had compiled that mentioned the names of people who were interned, what cities they were in, when they were picked up, and when they were released, etc. But it's in the high 30s, somewhere between 35 and 40 people from Windsor that were picked up. Now, whether all of those folks were interned is a different story, but definitely that's how many people, at least based on our records.
Yeah, some sent to camps, and again, as I said in the intro, some just having to report.
Yes.
You're not quite sure.
Yes, and then some, too, that might have just been picked up, questioned, and then released without any kind of stipulations.
Right. How did it affect the families and their property? Have you heard those stories yet?
With regards, because it was generally men who were interned, there was very few women, like a handful of women that were kept at the Kingston Penitentiary. So for a lot of families, it was generally, the husband that was interned, making, leaving it for wives to support families, and sometimes quite large families on their own. During that time, assistance, any kind of assistance was cut off to Italian families. So people had to make ends meet in whichever way they could. Sometimes that meant taking in boarders. Sometimes that meant, working extra jobs, taking in laundry, if the children could find some kind of work, et cetera.
But I would imagine if the government was concerned about these Italian Canadians during the war, many others, in terms of getting a job or a second job, might prove to be difficult as well.
Well, exactly, because
the suspicion raised.
Yes, people were also being released from work because they were Italian during this period, too. So, yes, very tricky.
Was there property confiscations as well?
There was an enemy custodian of enemy property that existed that was overseen by the Dominion government, and they would seize people's assets and then either look after them if it was a large enough company, like someone like James Franceschini, who was a multi-millionaire construction, et cetera, road building, and so on. He had he was interned, and his companies were overseen by the custodian of enemy property during the course of the war. So things like that. But it's like even if you had a small shoe store, something like that, this would also have fallen under the custodian's, I guess, oversight, mm-hmm. and sometimes they would sell that property, often at a cost much lower than it was actually worth.
And where did the money go? To the families or to the government?
Well, that's something that's kind of has to be determined yet, because there are some letters that I've seen where people's assets were seized and they were not released during the course of the war. So there'll be letters written by the wife of an internee saying, you know, I can't afford rent, or I can't afford money for coal to heat the apartment. I need access to this money, right? So it seems that after the conflict had ended, that perhaps there might have been a chance for those Italians who were interned, who had their assets seized, to recoup some of that. But that's still not really clear exactly whether that was the case or not.
What made you decide to start collecting these stories now?
The funding for this project comes from Citizen Immigration Canada, and they have a program that was established in the last few years called the Community Historical Recognition Program. And basically, they have a series of different projects that they will fund. One of them happens to be internment of Italian Canadians. Another one's the head tax experience that
for the Chinese.
Also, the Komagata Maru, the boat of I think it was mostly folks from India who had come over in the early 1900s that was not allowed to dock in Vancouver. So there's a few key projects that the federal government's going to fund research projects on.
And so you're looking for material, and you want to speak to survivors and family members and so on. What types of material are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for folks who are willing to share either their own personal experiences, or if they have or family members who are willing to speak on behalf of a deceased relative about their experiences, whether that was someone who was interned, someone who was designated an enemy alien and had to report monthly to the RCMP or the local police, or even stories of the kind of discrimination that Italians faced after Italy had joined the Axis. And then if people also have things like letters, correspondence between themselves and interned family members, any kind of documents regarding if they tried to go to the courts or appeal to the government to have property returned or have some of their assets released, anything like that, photos, artifacts of various kinds.
Do you expect to speak with many survivors? Are there many survivors of that time, men who would have been specifically targeted?
Yep, there are a few that are still alive, believe it or not. They're in their 90s and so on. But again, it's most for this project so far, it's mostly people who are family members, descendants of folks who were interned, et cetera.
And you will be coming to Windsor?
Yes, there is a trip planned for Windsor, probably early spring, be conducting, trying to identify folks, find folks who want to share their stories, and ideally interview them.
And, of course, that's where we want to ask you now. If there are families listening and would like to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
They can do that in various ways. They can contact me by phone. My number is 416-789-7011, extension 336. Other means are email. My email here at the Columbus Center is ttomchuk@villacharities.com, and we also have a website, which is www.villacharities.com/ICWW2.
Very good. Italian Canadians, World War II. That's what that's standing for, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Very good, Travis. Thanks so much for telling us about it, and I'll give out those ways to contact you in just a second here.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Sure.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.